Now let's turn over to Isaiah's Gospel, chapter number 6, if you would. Isaiah. We're going to look in Isaiah just a minute. A couple of things I want to kind of talk about a little bit before we get started. Kind of give you a little prompting of why I even was kind of going down this road. Of course, I kind of travel around a little bit and do a little evangelistic work and preach around a little bit, and we have some food pantries and the homeless folks we deal with, and you see a lot of stuff when you're out there. You know, we a lot of times when we're in our churches, we're in our little circle, and that seems to be pretty much where we're at. You know, we kind of, and I'm not saying that's bad, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times, what'd I do, brother? Fails. How's that? We're on? I think so. Testing one. We're on. Works now. Now, if I just worked that well, I'd be good. Sophie would say amen to that. A lot of times in our group, and of course I know some folks here, Brother Adam, y'all travel around a lot. You see a lot of things, a lot of different churches and things going on. And, disturbing to me just a little bit some of the things that we're not seeing. Go to a lot of churches, and if the Lord stirred, it would scare them half to death, some of them. And man, you just desire to see the Lord working. I mean, you know, we've been around it, and we've experienced, and we've tasted of the heavenly gift. We've seen the Lord working and stirring, and we've seen Him work and heal. We've seen Him save folks, and you know, there's a lot of places you go that it's just, you talk about it, and they're big-eyed, and they don't know, and they can't get a grasp of. Man, if somebody was to shout it, there's no telling what they might do. And you know, and I know people are different. Every church has got their own characteristic, and you know, I understand that. They're like a person, you know, and that's fine. But in that, a lot of times I think we get settled. We just kind of get satisfied in where we're at, and if we're not real careful, we grow stale, and that over a period of time can get worse and worse gradually. You know, and the next thing you know, nothing's going on. You don't understand what's happening. And I think we need to be vigilant in our minds as Christians and seeking the Lord. I recently saw a little documentary of a fellow that does studies and does some ministry work. And it was interesting to me. He was doing he did a documentary going around and asking teenage kids and who Adolf Hitler was. I'm hoping and I'm assuming everybody here knows who Adolf Hitler is. I mean, if some of you are here that were around the time when he was, you know, 65, maybe 70 years ago, when all that was taking place in Germany and you know, all he did to the Jews and all over. But I was surprised when he was asking the young people, some of the teenage folks there, who was Adolf Hitler? I was surprised. It really shocked me to how many kids did not know who Adolf Hitler was. I was shocked, and I think they were too, just a little bit. And the title of their little documentary was Changing Minds. The reason they don't know is because they're not being taught the history. And what a dangerous thing that is. History is vitally important to us. It really is. And some of them thought, well, he was kind of maybe part of the communist movement or part of socialism, you know, which he was, yeah, he was part of that, but evil he was. But to not know who he was and what he did, not being taught, it just absolutely blows my mind, you know. And when you think about that, changing minds. I recently, and even Brother Darren had mentioned the other day when he was reading a thing that Obama had said about the gay pride weekend. And how that people were starting to accept them, but now we've got to start changing minds. And when minds are changed, hearts would change. That was our president's address to the gay crowd, which I don't agree with at all. just so everybody knows. Don't put me in that category whatsoever. But it's the whole thought process. In our nation now, they're trying to teach their kids to veer away from our Constitution, the very founding documents of our nation. I've done a little bit of study about that, about our founding fathers, a lot of godly founding fathers we had. And that's what our nation was built on, the principles and, you know, and the law of God. Everything about our nation was built upon God's Word, every bit of it. And the thing of it is, they're starting to change. They're wanting to change minds. They actually did a questionnaire, sent out a questionnaire to some of our kids in our public schools, trying to see what their mindset was. 75% of them had a kind of a socialist view toward things. They actually thought that the government owed them something. You know, and it's just slowly changing the minds of our nation. And the sad part of it is, this socialist, and we'll not maybe call it socialist, but a lot of compromising from what our nation was set up on, they're compromising the standards, and they're changing everything, and they're changing minds slowly. And I got to thinking about that with reading about church history and seeing some of the old sermons like Jonathan Edwards, some of them great sermons that they preached, and reading some of the things that some of our founding, the great men of God back during the Reformation time and all the great sermons. I mean, they would stand and read a sermon for an hour and a half, and thousands of people would get saved from the power of God just falling on a congregation and moving and stirring. And I'm not saying that we don't have preachers around today that'll preach the truth. Thank God Brother Darren will lay it out. I'm glad. I tried to urge him on to lay it on a little harder myself, amen. I said, the Lord just keeps me around to keep you about half mad so you'll preach harder, is what I tell him. But I do appreciate Darren and the church because of your stance. But I guess what I'm preaching and talking about tonight is let's be very vigilant and be mindful of what's going on, and let's not let society and the devil change our mind about God. You know? And I was thinking so much about that when you see the TV programs and some of the things that even folks I know are starting to accept about church, about compromise, about sin slipping into the church, slipping into a lot of different areas in the church, and we find ourselves compromising because we get to a point where we don't want to offend anybody. I mean, that's the going thing now is political correctness, and I don't even want to mention that word anymore. About half makes me mad just thinking about that. But we got to be careful and stick to the stuff. We really do. I mean, it's crucial. It's really crucial. The Lord is blessed. There's a bunch of kids out here. Thank God that they're coming on Wednesday night. And how important it is for us as adults to stand for what's right. Quit compromising. I've seen it, and I've seen it in churches, and a couple of churches I've pastored. I try to get the word, the truth out there, and I've had families come against me knowing it was the truth. They'd say, I know you're telling it the truth, but they even made a statement to me, I don't care what the Bible says, that's my uncle. You know what I'm saying? And you know, God ain't within 100 miles of that right there. And that's just an ongoing thing, and that's some of the issues we have to deal with in church a lot of times, because it seems like family comes before the truth in Scripture. And God help us. And that just goes to show you how many folks are in our churches that are really lost, probably. A lot of folks maybe are so backslid on the Lord, they don't really see it. But this is something we need to get a hold of, because, listen, I'm telling you, even in our good fundamental churches, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, even in our fundamental Bible-believing, a lot of fundamental Bible-believing churches, there's compromise taking place. I've heard some of God's men say some things that really disturbed me, that there wasn't no Bible. I'm not trying to run anybody down. Please don't think I am. God is my witness. That's not what I'm trying to do. But if it ain't in the book, we got to be careful what we're saying. I know we've got opinions. I might say this is Fowlerology 101, and say this is my opinion about it. You know, I may say some things, but listen, we got to stick to the doctrines. And God's people ought to desire to stick to the doctrines that's in the Scripture, because, listen, that's the foundation of it all. If we leave the truth, we just have religion is all we have. You know, and we got to stick to it. And I just want us to be very, very careful that we don't slip away and let the devil start changing our minds and us drift off and start accepting things because they sound good. Just because they make us feel warm and fuzzy, and we accept it and we jump on it because it makes me feel good. We need to make sure it lines up with this old King James Bible, and we know things will work out then. Amen. So let's be very cautious. But then, and I was just thinking about it, and I want to turn up. We're going to look in Isaiah chapter 6. I preached out of Isaiah chapter 6, as most preachers have, probably a million times. And I'll probably preach a million times more out of Isaiah chapter 6. It is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Now, brother, watch it. I'm just aggravating him, so y'all don't pay attention to that. He yawned just a little bit. Now, I have been known to slip in somebody's lap if they went asleep too early in my sermon. Now, on toward the end, when I get boring, I can maybe see that. But in the beginning, when I'm trying to fly around and land somewhere, don't do that. You may have a visitor in your lap. And we'll make sure, because that thing spins 360, we can get it on camera. And we may win the $100,000 prize and give it to Darren. Send him to Hawaii. How's that? For two or three weeks anyway. But I was thinking about Isaiah chapter 6. And what I want us to do, a lot of times when we read the Bible, and we ain't really in the Holy Ghost when we're doing it. Okay? Many, many times we're just not there. And listen, guilty. Many times we come to church and we're not really ready for the message from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? We've worked hard. Bless God, we're just doing good to get here tonight. A lot of times is our thought process. The Lord knows where we're at. But listen, whoever, Brother Darren preaching with somebody, listen, we need to be here. Because we're not here just to beat the wind, you know. The Lord wants to use this church. The Lord wants to use us. That's why we're saved, to glorify the Father. That's why He saved us, for His name's sake. It's just a blessing to be saved. But I want us tonight, if you can, just a little bit. I know we're a little weary and tired. We all worked today, some of us. Brent probably didn't. He probably loafed around, but most of us probably worked today. And what I want us to do is kind of, I want us to get into Isaiah's mind here just a little bit and just imagine what Isaiah was seeing. I love Isaiah. I love Isaiah 52, 53, and 40. I mean, the list goes on and on about Isaiah, some of the great scriptures that's going on. But I believe the thing that's going to help us to keep from compromising and for us to really stick to the stuff is three or four things here we know about. And we've heard it preached, and we've prayed ourselves about it. And as we read Isaiah, we're going to look at a few things. But what Isaiah saw, and it really amazed me at the things that were taking place in Isaiah. And we're, like I said, we're kind of on the thought changing minds. And another little thought here before we get here. I was thinking about Hitler. And it amazed me how short a time span it took him to change the mind of a nation. Not the whole nation, but it wasn't that many years till it was completely changed around and they were doing things they didn't ever think they would do. And that's what the devil will do to you. That's why we got to keep our eyes where they need to be and our heart where it needs to be. And our mind, listen, our old heart wants to get us to go every which way. I mean, mine does. I don't know. Y'all may be right top shelf. I mean, you may be right in tune. I mean, the Holy Ghost speaks to you and you jump. You may be one of them. I'm not. So if you're one of them, I'm just preaching to me tonight. And I'm going to be happy doing it, all right? But I want to look here at Isaiah just a little bit. He says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's look just a little bit, if you will, and kind of go with me. Let your mind wander for just a little bit. Don't get too serious about yourself. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost kind of speak to your heart just a little bit. And kind of see what Isaiah said. Can you imagine? Great a man of God as Isaiah was, to see a vision that he saw, to actually see the throne room of God. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind and his spirit when he actually saw a vision of the throne of God, him high and lifted up? I don't know about you, but that kind of starts to stir in me. There's a process going on here in this chapter that'll help us if you want it. But I believe the first thing we need to realize is realize who God is. So many times in this generation, during this time, so many folks, so many churches are pushing the holiness of God and the sovereignty of God completely out of existence. Listen, I'm part of the family of God that started before the foundation of this world. God knew a whole lot. He knew a whole lot about what was going to happen. I don't know how he worked it. But I'm telling you, I know he's God. But Isaiah saw him, think about it, in his throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. The glory of God was everywhere there. Isaiah saw it. And church, listen, that's our first step, is to realize who God is in our lives and realize who he is. Listen, I want us to understand his word and his cause. And his purpose is going to happen whether the church wants it or not. Just so you know, Bethel don't have the lock and key on the Lord, you know. The Lord has blessed. We ought to be excited about what the Lord's done in our lives. We should be humbled that he's even came around a few times and visited with us here. We ought to be humbled about the presence of God and realize who he is. And Isaiah was starting to see some things. I believe some things were starting to kind of churn around in his heart a little bit. I believe there's some things in his spirit was starting to take place, because after all, he saw a vision of God. He saw the holiness of things that were taking place around the throne room of God. He saw the seraphims flying around. They couldn't even look upon him. No man has seen him. Brent, is this water okay? He told me to take a drink of this, and I got a little worried after he said that. So, I'm going to give it a try. If I start acting like Matt, just forgive me. Tasted all right. But he saw the seraphims. It's not too late. He saw the seraphims flying around. He couldn't even look on God because of his holiness, because of his purity. I mean, the seraphims, they had to cover their eyes. But their whole purpose in life, in existence, is to fly around the throne of God crying holy. You know, and really, that ought to be us. More than we do. In our prayer life, I mean, there's a whole list of things we go through when we pray. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. I'm not saying he don't want to help us. But I'm telling you, don't you think every now and then we all just bow down and cry holy? I mean, just get down and have a little church, just you and the Lord, crying holy, holy. Can you imagine if you was praying in the Holy Ghost of God and things are stirring in your life and you started crying out holy in your spirit and it started running out of your mouth? I'm telling you, there ain't no telling what might take place if we'd get a hold of God like that. I mean, really just start seeing the Lord for who he is and realize how holy he is and understand that. And I believe if we would see that and see who God is and realize his power, and realize all he can do. Listen, God knows exactly what's going on right now. As much as we worry, we really don't need to. Because, listen, he's God. After all, there's a lot of things got to happen for that last amen for the church to be ushered up out of here. There's a lot of things got to take place. Amen. Let's look to the Lord and realize he's holy and he's in charge of this thing. And verse 5 here, look at this. And said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Imagine Isaiah, his vision seeing the Lord. He saw the seraphims. He saw the holiness of God. The Bible talks about worshiping him in the beauty of holiness. Can you imagine if we was all together with one mind and one accord and in our hearts truly crying, holy, 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 Lord God, and us get, we see how the Holy Ghost shook the church back in the book of Acts. He can still shake some things today. He's still God. If we'd get back to the point where we're acknowledging him for who he is and his holiness, and when we're crying out to him in prayer and in worship, uplift him. He'll take care of our problems if we uplift the name of Jesus and cry holy unto him and mean it within our hearts, not some list of stipulations along with it, or if you'll do this, I'll do that stuff. I'm talking about worshiping the Lord God Almighty truly with a pure heart and a pure conscience, wanting to worship him for who he is. But in that, I believe with all my heart, if we get to that point and see God for who he is, I believe we'd be like old Isaiah and realize just who we are. I believe we'd start acknowledging how sinful we really are in our thoughts and deeds. Yeah, we serve the Lord. Yeah, we tithe. Yeah, we do things. But I'm telling you, even in the midst of that, not one good work's going to get me to heaven. It's fully by the grace of God and nothing else than the work that was done on Calvary, the debt he paid for my sins. Hallelujah to the Lamb on that one right there. If we would really see who he is and worship him in holiness, I believe without a doubt the Holy Ghost would show us just how sinful we really are. Man, I'm telling you, you pull out in front of me at a red light, my goodness, I may mash the gas. No. I'm hoping and praying I'd find the brake. But you know how quick we can in the flesh. Man, we can be vengeful. If we're not the thoughts there, we entertain how much pleasure we might get with a little revenge. We may not carry it out. Woo! Say amen, preacher. Now you own it. We're made out of the same mud. Amen. Some just dress their mud a little better than others. Amen. I've got a tie on my mud tonight. But honestly, if we just see God in his holiness, it's a simple thing, really. We're the ones who made it complicated. And realize, listen, I'm just a sinner. I can't claim nothing in my works, what I've done for him, not a thing. The blessings he's given me and my family and the ministry work that we do and the souls we get to witness to, how good he's been. He's provided everything we've ever needed. Every can of food, every blanket, every gallon of gas, everything he's provided over and abundantly. And it's him. He did it. Listen, we don't deserve a thing. But I'm telling you, I thank God for grace. I thank God he loves us. Amen. But Isaiah, he saw some things and he realized what a sinful person he was, and how sinful everybody was around him. I mean, we'll pat each other on the back, and that's fine. You've got some to tell you how wonderful you are. They're just self-esteem people with preacher kind of beside it, you know. And I self-esteem's a good thing. We need to have some self-esteem about us, a little care about ourselves. That's a good thing. But when that surpasses us worshiping God in his holiness, we've mixed it the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of pride about yourself, or, you know, wiping the mud off your shoes sometimes, just every now and then, you know. I mean, that's a good thing to do. you know, I take a shower just every now and then, just, you know, because I have to be around people, and Lord, y'all can't hardly stand me clean, much less when I've worked real hard and been in a tater patch or something, you know. But it's fine to feel good about it. It's good to know who you are and what you want. I'm not saying that's good. It's good to have plans. It's good to have all these things. But when all this gets in the way of us worshiping God for His holiness and who He is, that's where we got problems. That's when we start compromising. We start caving in to this world. We start caving in to family and peer pressure. When we know what the truth of God's Word is and what we should be doing. Amen. The center of Bethel Baptist Church ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that's done, every song that's sung ought to be for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Every deacon. Amen. Your whole purpose is to uplift. Listen, you're put in a position. Your position is to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do. Every committee is to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Every vacuum cleaner person in here, it's for the Lord Jesus. That's what it ought to be. Everything about it is to uplift the Lord God. It's not about you. But so many times, our mind turns to where we think we're some. We think the church needs us. We think that it won't run without us. We think we don't need the Lord anymore. My experience will lead us. Now listen, I don't care what your little clique's telling you, how wonderful you are. If it ain't for the glory of God and the edification of the church, you need to put it in the trash. And go ahead and throw a match on top of it while you're there. And don't try to put it out. Let it burn. Because it ought to be everything for the edification and the unity in the house of God. It ought to be that way. Everything should be. And if we, like Isaiah, see how perfect and holy God is, realize how sinful we are, some things would start happening. This is a process after all. The first, it's like salvation. The first thing you really acknowledge is God. You acknowledge that. You acknowledge His existence, and then through His Word you see, and through the power of the Holy Ghost, you're convicted of your sins. And then after that, when the Holy Ghost of God moves into your life, there's a zeal that comes about you. It's a simple process, just as Isaiah's seeing some things here. It's a simple process for revival in our lives. We ought to have a thirst for the lost. We really should. If you don't care about the lost, look at me. Everybody look at me and smile, so I know you're listening. The camera's turning. But if you don't have a concern for the lost, you need revival in your own life. You've left something. And believe you me, it can happen to any of us here. It can. There can be some things come in your life, man, just lead you. There's some sickness problems. Listen, these things can come. You're not exempt from falling off the path a little bit. Nobody is. Why? Because we're sinful flesh. Isaiah saw the holiness of God. The prophet Isaiah saw the holiness of God, and he realized what a sinner he was. We're no different. But it goes on to say here, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. It was an acknowledgement of sin in his life. And the Lord purged him of his sin. Listen, just because you've been saved, I've been saved for 80 years. Just because you've been saved all these years or 2 days, listen, by nature you're a sinner. You can't help it. You may, listen, the Pharisees in the Baptist church, You know, the legalistic crowd, they're the perfect ones. Now, I can just tell you they are. I don't really fall in line with them too much at all, because I just am who I am. But I'm telling you, we're nothing but sinful flesh, all of us. Really, that's all. We can't claim a thing but the grace of God. And that's all. And that's why it's so important for us to see the holiness of God. Because in that we see who we are, and repentance of our sins follows that. And listen, the Lord can't use us unless we're repentant people. Because in a heartbeat we can be high and lifted up. Man, I'm telling you right now, something go good in your life, one of your young'uns gets, you know, something good, or things start. Let me tell you here what Baptists are bad for. Since I know them real well. See, I've pastored a couple of churches. I know them real well. But when things go good, they're awful bad to brag. Look what the Lord is doing. When really, they're making themselves feel good, and it ain't a whole lot about the Lord about that. You know what I'm saying? You ever done that? No, I'm sure nobody in here ever has. Surely not. We're awful bad to do that. And then, you know, the next thing you know, it's maybe a little hard plowing at the house of God, and man, boy, our mind changes, doesn't it? Oh, God, what's going on now? You know, we're just like this. That's why we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's so important. I don't care how much you read, how much you come to church, how much you preach, how much you study, how much you don't study, you still need to realize who God is and who you are. That keeps us in check. But he saw his sinfulness. He saw his sinfulness. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, and I went through all, this is just the introduction. So I got to 8:10, 10 after 8. This is just the introduction. Here's where I really want us to all, and I'll be brief, maybe, but this is all I've said is to get us to here. Listen to me. Look here. Serious point here. The devil wants to change your mind about the Word of God and about your responsibility as a child of God. He wants to turn the church into a social gathering. He really does. That's what the devil wants. He don't want worship. He don't want obedient Christians. He don't want zealous, happy Christians. It's okay to be a happy Christian. I'm going to be a happy Christian myself. I don't live by a lot of them standards of Pharisaical legalism. I'm going to serve the Lord if it makes the whole outfit mad. It don't matter. My main concern is to serve the Lord. I failed him many times. Many, many times. But I want to look right here. In verse 8 he says, "And I heard a voice of the Lord saying," now look here, "whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." That's the main verse I want us to get a hold of here tonight. It was a process, you see. And we know that the devil is trying to change our mind to make us compromise. He tells the church that there's not lost people out here, that they're all gospel hard. That's a lie from the devil. You know why he tells you that? So you'll sit right here and not go tell nobody about the Lord. The devil will keep you on the church pew. You believe that? He'll feed you all kind of lies and tell you there's no use to hand out a gospel tract. He'll tell you there's no use to have a food pantry, because then people just out for just, they don't really care about nothing. But when your sole purpose is to get the gospel out there, I don't care who they are, whether they've got a billionaire or living in a ditch out here, it's the same message, it's the same gospel, it's the same power of the Holy Ghost. It'll save either one. And that's our main job. Yeah, so what if we give somebody a box of food and they go down to the next place and get a box of food, or the next place to get a box of food? Why you got them there? You hold that box and you tell them there's a heaven, you tell them there's a hell, and you tell them how to escape hell and make it to heaven while they're grabbing that box, trying to jerk it away so they can leave. Saturday, I had an old boy. I leaned up against the truck door to keep him from leaving. We had about 40 folks come to our food pantry. Every one of them gets gospel tracts, and every one of them, before they get to the car, gets witnessed to. And I hold the box. They can't. I'll stand in front. He put his box in the back of the truck, and I stood at the door and leaned against it. And he had his hand trying to open that thing. I wasn't going to let him leave till I got done. Man, he was sweating. He had his eyes was welled up. He was hard. I'm telling you, he was hard. But I'm telling you, I know the one that can break that old hard heart. You get the truth of the gospel to them. Yeah, they come to take advantage. He had 2 or 3 boxes sitting in his truck. He went to them other places. They didn't tell him a thing about the Lord Jesus. Nothing. They handed him a box of food, sent him on down the way, say, we'll see you next Saturday. They just thought they was going to slip by where we was at and escape out of there real easy. But I'm telling you, I know what the Lord can do to an old cold heart. Because I was one. I'm telling you. He can take the hardest heart that you think the Holy Ghost can't penetrate, and he'll make it so soft, he'll be just like a little teddy bear. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. The hardest one you ever think, that just you'd think it'd kill you at the drop of a hat, all of a sudden, their eyes well up. Tears start flowing. Stuff comes out of their nose. We're on camera, so I got to be easy. All these, listen, and him break down to his knees, shaking with the fear of God on him, I want to get saved. I don't care how hard they are, God can save them. Church, listen, don't let the devil change your mind. Don't let a period of time and maybe at ease and Zion in your life say, well, there's no use. I don't care how old you are. We need to all get fired up for the Lord. Are y'all with me? Everybody do this. Look like that little dog in the back of the little truck, you know, with a little wire on his neck and does that, you know. Honestly, Isaiah saw the holiness of God and his purity. He realized his sinful nature. He realized how sinful he was and the people he was around, especially him. He knew his sinfulness. And when that came, when the Lord spoke, he said, whom will I send? Isaiah said, God, I'll go. Because in our sinfulness, when we see who we are, in that weak place, when ourself is emptied, our pride's gone, everything completely wiped out as far as Tony's concerned, and God's stirring, and he speaks, you can hear him. Because you're not self-centered anymore. You're not consumed about you and the things in your life so much. I'm not pushing that aside, don't get me wrong. But don't let the things in your life, y'all with me? Don't let the things in your life consume you to the point where the devil will change your mind and tell you there ain't lost people out here that need Jesus. Yes. The devil's been doing a long time trying to change Eve's mind. Down all through the ages. Tried to change everybody's mind. Nation after nation after nation failed. Because minds changed. Church after church, listen to me, after church fail because their minds were changed. This will preach here in just a minute. I kind of feel the Holy Ghost stirring a little bit right now. It ought to concern us. It ought to concern us all. Listen, I want my youngins, man, when somebody says the Holy Ghost, I want them to know there's a Holy Ghost. I do. Man, it never done my heart no better to see them come into the living room, busted down crying, said, Daddy, I don't want to go to hell.
man. Where'd they hear that at? They heard it at church somewhere. They heard somebody tell them the truth. Amen. Not watering it down. That's how the Lord works. Hallelujah. Man, we ought to hear the Lord saying, go. Wherever you at? Wherever you are, at your job, your family, wherever. Listen. He'll tell each and every one of us to go. He will. I hope we're like Isaiah. Say, send me. I'll go. How important. Lord, God, don't let the devil change our minds. Patricia, if you would come up to the piano, please, ma'am. Play a little invitational here. Maybe you got somebody on your heart, a lost person. Maybe the Holy Ghost just kind of touched you just a little bit. Maybe spoke to your heart. Go, listen. Let's all stand if you would. Maybe you won't get down this old altar and say, Lord, I don't want the devil to change my mind. Will you work in me? Please work in me. Lord, I want to be led by the Holy Ghost. Man, I do. Oh, how hard it is for me a lot of times. It really is. Don't let the devil change your mind. God's been awful good to all of us. We could never pay him back. Never. Ain't no way. Ain't enough of us in here to pay it back. Nor does he expect us to. Our heart ought to be just because we love him, we want to do things. That's where our heart needs to be. It's that simple.